All right, I'd like for you to take your Bible this morning, turn to the book of Philippians. I'm going to look at some scripture there this morning here in the Bible that I thought would be good for us to look at this morning. I guess in this modern generation, people have a tendency to be real cold towards each other. And a lot of times you have love, but you fail to show your love. And sometimes you, like if there's somebody you love, you really don't show them your love until maybe they're dead and gone. And then it just hurts you real bad that you didn't love them while you had a chance. Or somebody has to get real sick, or you just about lose them before you realize how much you love them. And I don't know what it is that makes us that way. I guess it's just our old meanness and flesh. But it sure would be good if we could keep a heart that loves people and shows it, and not keep our mind on ourselves all the time. And our theme these 6 weeks is Somebody Cares. And the Lord knows my heart this morning. I want to be a Christian that cares about other people. I really do. And I believe people can tell it when you care about them. They can feel it. And they can know when you don't, too. And in the Bible, in Philippians chapter 2, I want you to look here at what Paul said here. This old boy had been in jail for a long time, and he's talking about sending Timothy, a young man, to help another fellow out. And look in chapter 2 and verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care. There's our word we're looking for. Care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it shall go with me. He was saying here, I can't come myself, but I've got a fella that I can send over there to you that cares. Thank God this morning somebody cares. If everybody in the world were just completely hard-hearted and nobody cared about anybody else, this world would be in rough, rough, terrible shape. This building that you're sitting in here this morning would not even be here if a bunch of people up there on the hill in the old building several years ago had not cared. I'm not talking about just saying, well, I'd like to see a building down there. I'm talking about sacrificing hundreds and thousands of dollars out of their pockets, hundreds of hours of labor with their own hands when they could have been in home and bed, and cared enough to put a building here that you could sit here this morning and hear preaching and get your soul ready to meet God one day at the judgment. You know, people these days just want to do just what they have to do to get by. But the only way we ever amount to anything for God is to do things that we don't have to do simply because we care. Just because we care. People today in McDowell County, all over this town, are saying, who cares? And you go into our big cities in our town. I went up to Michigan and preached a bunch of times, you know. And every time I go up there, it gets nastier. The streams are polluted. There's trash on both sides of the highway. And when people go down the road and they see all that trash, they say, well, nobody else cares. Why should I throw theirs out the window? The water ain't fit to drink. And nobody seems to care. The lights are out in a lot of so-called houses of God on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And no services going on. I know some of them churches probably don't even have a light bill. They don't ever use them. The only time they meet is on Sunday morning, and the light comes in the windows on the side, and nobody seems to care. Marriages are exploding. People that have been married 10, 20 years, just separating, going their separate ways. Little kids crying themselves to sleep at night because mom and daddy won't stay together and can't work out the problems. And the bad part is, nobody seems to even care what's happening in our society. Government doesn't seem to. The labor board doesn't seem to. Let me ask you this morning, do you care? Are you concerned about our community that God has put us in? Our workers on our bus ministry go out on Saturdays, and last Saturday, I don't know about yesterday, but knocked on personally, just our bus workers from our church, over 300 doors Saturday a week ago. I don't know about yesterday, but that was a week ago Saturday. And they go into home after home after home after home after home where mama and daddy maybe are drinking. And little kids have to get up and clothe themselves. And if they eat anything, maybe try to fix them a little bowl of cereal or maybe a piece of candy or maybe just some Pepsi from the refrigerator. And running around all day, maybe daddy on a hangover or mama going to work. And those little kids are growing up into a world, ladies and gentlemen, that really thinks nobody cares about them. A lot of our bus workers, when they go into a home, they find out. Our bus workers go in and they say, every Saturday when I go by, you better just hire on this one, brother. They say, every Saturday when I go by, little Susie or little Tommy or little Joey will come running out of the house with their arms open like this and grab me around the butcher's leg and hug me and say, I love you, I love you. And there's a lot of people out there just starved for somebody to pay them a little bit of attention. And the churches, most of us nowadays, just don't seem to care. The average church member says, I've got my own problems. I've got my own worries. I've got my own kids. I've got my own bills to pay. I ain't got time to worry about everybody else. But I thank God this morning that somebody cares. Who cares about the work of God? If the work's done or not, some couldn't care less. Who cares about sinners going to hell? Not many people nowadays. Not many people. There's people stand all over churches, houses, all over this world this morning, and they'll stand and sing, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, and never put forth an effort to go out and rescue a perishing or care for the dying. Let me say something to you, ladies and gentlemen. Every once in a while, I run into one of these people that say, Brother Danny, why can't y'all just cool it a little bit? After all, there's a lot of good, great, nice churches around this county that don't have to go out and do like yuns do. They don't go out and beat on people's door and have to, you know, carry it so far. Why can't you just settle down and be like them? And my answer is this. It's because I don't think you ought to be a hypocrite. I believe if we sing, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, then we ought to be rescuing the perishing and caring for the dying. Amen? I don't think we ought to get up and sing on Sunday morning, I love to tell the story, and yet when somebody talks about the story where we work, it embarrasses the daylights out of us. In plainer words, you shouldn't be a hypocrite. In plainer words, if you're going to be a Christian, you ought to live for God and try to put Him first. Now, I know we're not perfect, and I know we all mess up, and I'm as sorry as the next fella. But I'm telling you this morning, folks, we better care. We ought to care. We ought to care. Jesus, we saw Him with a woman at the well. And you know why He stayed there and talked to her? He cared. I'm going to just mention a few things this morning. I'm not going to be long. I'm going to be real brief. And I want you to listen real careful. Suppose I was sitting over in my front yard. And maybe I had a next door neighbor over here and a next door neighbor over here. And all of a sudden my neighbor's house was on fire. And it began to burn. And flames started shooting out the roof. And I could see them, the windows popping and busting out and everything. And I'm sitting there and I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to make this decision of whether or not I'm going to help him get out of that fire or whether or not I'm just going to sit there and say, well, if he gets out, he gets out. If he don't, he don't. Now, let's just suppose I sit there and I say this. I'm out in my lawn chair, stretched back. My neighbor's house is burning down. Now let's say I sit there this morning and I say, well, I don't want to force my beliefs on him. I believe he needs to get out of that house. But I think it ought to be his decision whether he gets out or not. You'd say, well, you nut you. That man may not know the danger he's in. He's unable to make a right decision if he don't realize the danger. You say, but yeah, one time another man's house was burning down, and I went over and tried to get him out, and he cussed me out and told me to leave, and it wasn't none of my business. So I decided if I seen anybody else's house burning down, I wasn't going to fool with them, and just let them decide whether they want to get out or not. Now, just because one man cussed you out, don't give you an excuse to let your neighbor burn up and not try to get him out. And many people, they'll try to witness. They'll knock on a door. They'll visit two or three times. They'll try to be a witness for God. And somebody will say something smart to them. Or somebody will cuss them out. Or somebody will say, well, keep your religion to yourself. And they have the idea that everybody feels that way. And you know, everybody's supposed to talk to nobody about their soul. That's not right. We need to care what happened to people. What if I sit here in my neighbor's house is burning down. And I sit there and I say, well, if it's meant for him to get out, he'll get out. And me going over there helping wouldn't do no good no way, because if it ain't meant for him to get out. Wonder where they ever thought of that thing, if it's meant. Would you show me in the Bible where it said that it's meant for some to get out and not meant for others to get out? That's an excuse. That's an excuse we use to keep from care. Let me give you another one. Say there's people in the community that need help. We have people call all the time. I have call here, come call the house, all the time saying, we need groceries, we need my light bill paid, we need this, we need that, we ain't got no oil, we ain't got no wood. Now listen, we have to make a decision whether or not we're going to help people or not. Here's the way some people say. They say, now wait a minute now, preacher. They're a bunch of hoodlums out there. They just take advantage of people, and they'll just take you for a ride, and they'll take every dime you got if you give it to them. And that's true. A lot of them will. But that does not excuse me and you from helping and trying to reach and minister to the ones that really do need help. We let a few crooks cheat us out of helping people that really do need help. You know, I'm glad somebody cares. I'm glad somebody can overcome the flesh. I'm glad as an 18-year-old boy, back several years ago, when I was running around out here in sin, I'm glad somebody cared. I'm glad somebody cared enough about me. My cousin, Jackie Patton, worked at the store down there in Nebo, below Nebo Baptist Church. And we'd go in the store every day. Back then, you know my testimony and you know how I was living. I was empty inside. I had nothing to live for. I was on the road to hell. I didn't have any opportunity of ever seeing my life amount to anything. I was running around with the wrong bunch, headed the wrong way, doing the wrong things. And that day, it just so happened that they had a revival at Nebo Baptist Church. And they had this revival meeting scheduled with Brother Joe Parson. Now, Brother Joe Parson was a great old man of God who would get up early in the morning and pray. You know why Joe Parson got up early in the morning and prayed? Because he cared. He cared. He wasn't doing it trying to work his way to heaven. He cared about other people. And old Joe get up and he would pray. And Joe came to town. God came to town. And God came to that little community of Nebo. And boy, strange things begin to happen down in the Nebo area. The strange spirit of conviction began to sweep across that community. And I grew up down in that community. And I knew that community. And that community knew me. But you know, I'd been down there for all of my life. And I never remember one person setting me down and saying, Danny, I care about where you go when you die. And with tears in their eyes, tell me how I could get saved and go to heaven. I never remember that happening. It might have, but I don't remember it. But that day, that weekend, strange things begin to happen. I remember it went something like this. On Friday, we was down there at the schoolhouse playing ball. And these weird looking bunch of people come down there.
And they were people from out of town. We could tell it in a minute. They were foreigners. Come to find out, they were from Appalachian State University. And they'd come down there, and they'd come down to participate in the revival at Nebo during the weekend. And them rough boys, we're sitting over there, and we're just sitting there talking. And we sit there and play the ball like this, you know, and go back and forth between our legs. And we're sitting there and we're playing. We said, who's them bunch of weirdos? And they was over there on the swings and swinging back and forth and stuff. And I remember on Saturday that I told you, my little car, I'd take the top down. It was about this time of year, and I'd take the top off about MG. And as soon as it'd get warm enough, man, I'd take a top down on that thing and start riding around. And on Saturday of that day, the weekend before the greatest thing of my life, I sat down there in Mom's backyard on the swing. And I remember that day as just so plain. I got in my car and it was a real pretty day like it is today. And they was having this thing called Clean Up Community, Clean Up Nebo or McDowell County or something. I don't know if y'all remember that, but I think it was a countywide thing where everybody was going to try to clean up their community. And me and somebody, I don't know if it was me and Linda or me and my cousin or who, but we got in my little MG and we took off a flying. And I come out to the end of Hoppy Tom, and as I stopped out there at the end of Hoppy Tom, I noticed there were some young people across the street over there, across Highway 70, and they was picking up trash. They were picking up cans and putting them in bags and pushing up. And we, of course, thought them crazy nuts. This beautiful day, I mean, it's about time to go swimming and everything. And here them nuts are out here picking up trash on the highway. And we just waved at them like, what? My gears wasn't about that far apart in that thing. You just change them like that. I go, like that. And we just wave at them and say, see y'all later. And we pulled in up there at Pite Heights, down there at Faith Baptist Church. And I remember we pulled in there, and I can't meet me. I don't know if you was with me, honey, or me. She wasn't. She said no. One of them boys with me. And we pulled in up there at Pratt Heights, and there's a bunch more of them picking up trash. And they're saying, we're cleaning up the community. I thought, well, okay. And they said, y'all want to help us? I said, no, we got big things to do. I put that thing in reverse. She had to do it like this, put it in reverse. I put it in reverse and went around and went, and took off a flying. And you know, boy, there was funny things happening around here. And I realized that God was doing that in a symbol. It was symbolic. Because what I did not realize is that the Lord had a few clean-up plans of His own that He was starting that weekend. And God was going to clean up Nebo in a way that nobody expected. And boy, there's a lady down there in Nebo. Y'all listening to me? There was a lady in Nebo that got under conviction for us hoodlums down there. And you know, my hair was way down here and wore old sloppy pants, and I was running around, and just, if I'd have got killed, I'd have went to hell just like that. And there was a lady down there that God said fast for 3 days. And that lady didn't eat a bite for 3 days and 3 nights praying for the young people in the community of Nebo. When the 3 days was over, the Lord said, go 3 more. And she went 6 days and nights and never ate a bite. Joe got up and was praying. I went in the store down there on Monday, I believe it was, and my cousin said, why don't y'all come to the revival? And I said, something weird going on around here. And the other weird thing was, I was starting to be dissatisfied with myself. I was sick of everything and everybody. And it was just like I was looking for something, but I didn't know what it was. And lo and behold, I went over to her house on Monday evening, and she said, guess what? So-and-so, and called this boy's name off, said he got saved. And he was one of my ball-playing buddies. I played ball with him every day. I said, huh? Got saved? I hate to admit this to you, but I did not even know what it meant. I didn't know. I knew it was something religious. And I knew that it was something you'd done. I knew God had something to do with it. And it had something to do with getting right with God. But I didn't know what it meant to be saved. But when she said that, the Lord used Linda to get me under conviction. Because I thought, well, she just come right out and said that and wasn't even ashamed to? And she said, so-and-so got saved last night. I went, huh? And as a little bit of curiosity got in my heart, and I said, I want to go out there and find out what's going on. And on Tuesday night, you've heard me tell it over and over and over, me and my cousin, we played ball at the schoolhouse till about 1 minute time of church start. Hopped in my car, drove out to the church, and I peeked in the back door, and it was full and is already singing. And I said, I ain't going in there. I ain't going. I said, we'll come back next week. Tomorrow night. We walked out that night, and I told her, I said, you want to go to church tomorrow night? And she said, yep. So I went over and picked her up, took my cousin. We went the next night. That was on Wednesday night, April the 19th. I sat back down back there. I looked around and I thought, man, what's all these people doing here? And they all looked at me like, what in the world is he doing here? Never thought I'd see him in church. And about that time, my heart started going boom, boom, boom. And people started going to that altar. And buddy, there's a crying. And man, my heart went, whoa, here. I gotta get out of here. I don't like this atmosphere. And this girl was sitting up in front of me, and she turned around and looked right at me and said, Danny, why don't you go get saved? And man, when she said that, it was just like a dart went. It was God, the Holy Ghost, pricking my soul and dealing with my heart and drawing me. Man, it scared me to death. And I said, it ain't my time. And I tried to put it off as long as I could. And I stood there a few minutes. And of course, you've heard me tell over and over and over, one thing led to another. Next thing I know, my heart is about to bust, and I said, I'm a-going. I stepped out that night, walked down to the front. I couldn't even get near the front. There's so many people laying around there crying and praying. And I fell on my face. And my face just went down that carpet, and I just remember doing this. I said, oh, God. Buddy, something happened. He took me to Calvary. He washed me. Lord, I'll guarantee you something happened to me that night. I got up 45 minutes later, and I felt like a brand new little baby. I sat down on the front row. Old Uncle Joe got up, and he looked like King Kong, man. He got real big, and he said, did you get everything straight, young man? I said, yes, sir. I wouldn't have dared told him no, even if I did. I don't know why he picked me out. All those people looked right at me and said that. I said, yes, sir. I thought, Lord. That night I went home. I told you I took her home. Took her home and I laid my hand. You know that little gear shift I was talking about? I laid my head over on that little gear shift and prayed. And I didn't know how to pray. But I laid my head on that little gear shift in her driveway. I never thought I'd pray in front of my girlfriend. Son, I'll guarantee you something happened. I'll guarantee you'd have never caught me doing that. I'd have died before I'd have done that in front of a girl. Hey, tell me something don't happen when an 18-year-old boy takes his girlfriend home. Well, here we are, darling. Let's pray. Now, you know, he is either on LSD, he has flipped his lid, man, or something has happened to him. Especially when she's as pretty as she. I started to say was. I started to say is. I better hush right there. I was trying to work it around there where she's better, prettier than she was then. Amen. All right. You know why I got that? You know why? You know why? What happened to me? Happened to me? Somebody cared. Listen, listen, listen. There's hundreds of little Danny Castles running around up at McDowell High School. Oh, a bunch of heathen up there. Y'all saw where I was. There ain't no hope for them. People thought that about me. All they need to know is that somebody cares. Do you care about souls? Do you care about your community? I mean, does it bother you what's going on in this town? Does it bother you that they sell beer and wine here? Does it bother you that our kids are walking up and down the street, driving up down the highway stoned out of their mind? Having wrecks on our highways, getting in trouble, getting pregnant, having an abortion? Do you care? Does it bother you tonight or this morning that there's people all over McDowell County that need to know that somebody loves them? This is our community, folks. This is where God put us. I know Marion's a little Peyton place. I know it's a little Harper Valley. You don't have to tell me. But it's our community where God has placed us. I'm going to mention a few things here this morning. I'm going to close the service different than I usually do. Here's what I'd like for you to do this morning. I'd like for everybody in this church right now to make up your mind that you're going to do something for somebody this week. Now, the best way in the world to get your mind off your problems is do something for somebody else. A lot of times I'll think about my problems and I'll think, oh Lord, ain't I got it rough? Ain't I pitiful? Poor little me. You know, all this. And I go somewhere and preach. And next thing I know, I'm trying to help somebody with their problems and praying with them and stuff. And first thing you know, I'm feeling wonderful because I'm accounting myself in good shape compared to some people I meet when I'm off preaching. And if you look around a little bit, it's real easy to find somebody else worse off than you are. I wonder how much do we care, church? Do we care enough to really pray this week that God will save souls? Do we care enough this week about the kids on our bus route that we'll pray that God will save them all and touch their families? Do we care enough about our own selves to walk right? Do we care enough about the kids we go to school with to tell them about Jesus? Do we care enough about the sick, the dying in our community? It's important to people that somebody cares. You say, Brother Danny, all right, what do you want me to do? I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I want to give you some examples. Let's do something for some people this morning, okay? Show them somebody cares. I thought about, and I know you, a lot of times you already have helped a lot of people, and sometimes people help and we don't even know about it, and that's wonderful. I thought about Mr. and Miss Patton up the street here. I don't think they're here this morning. Joe and Maud, they've been real sick, not able to come to church, just live right up the road here. I wonder if some of the ladies would say, Brother Danny, I care about them. They're not even kin to me, but I care enough to go up there and cook them a meal and take it to them. I wonder if somebody would say, Brother Danny, there's Mr. and Miss Monk over there. Who's been real sick, hardly able to get out. Miss Monk's been down for a long time, and Mr. Monk's been having to take care of everything. Stand up over Mr. and Miss Monk. Amen. 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 Mr. Monk, you still having to do most of the work? How old are you, Mr. Monk? Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Wouldn't it be a good thing for some of you boys that's stronger than an ox to run over there this week and make sure their grass is mowed? Now, you know why this makes you nervous? It's because when you start showing your love, folks, it embarrasses the flesh. We got Donna over yonder in that trailer in East Marion, Donna Oliver. She's not able to do much for herself at all. Wonder why somebody couldn't just say, I care about Donna. I care about Mr. and Miss Mom. I care about the Pattons up the street. Somebody cares. I'm glad somebody cared about me, prayed for me. I'm glad somebody cared. Listen, the days may come when me and you's down and sick, and it's going to really mean a lot if somebody comes to our door and says, can I vacuum the floor for you? Can I wash your dishes? Is there anything I can do? I thought about
this lady up in PG, where a couple of years ago we took our boys from Bible school, and as a project we took our teenage boys and let them go out and mow people's grass and do stuff for them. I thought about Brother Lloyd Broomer. Brother Lloyd Broom, as far as I know right now, don't have a lawnmower or needs one. They ain't no use in him buying a lawnmower. His grass can be mowed in 20 minutes, and any one of these men in here could just say, I'm going to slip by once every 2 weeks and get that grass, Brother Lloyd. I mean, there's no trouble in that. Just somebody caring. Just somebody caring. Amen? You know what our problem is? We're too concerned with ourselves. And oh, it would change your life. It would revolutionize some of your life if you just quit thinking about yourself all the time. For 6 weeks, we're talking about somebody cares. People are sick and tired of hearing church. Went and mowed her grass during Bible school. And that weekend, I pulled in up there, and somehow or another, she can drive, and she pulled in her car up there, or maybe had somebody with her, and was waiting on me up there in the parking lot. And I pulled in, and she says, come here. And she said, I'm Mrs. So-and-so, and I've got something for you. And she had a letter, and the letter said, I have lived in this community for so many years. There's churches all around me. And she said, that is the first time anybody has ever offered to help me do anything. Amen? Don't that make you wonder? And inside that card was a check that she had donated to our church. Look around here this morning. I could point you out people around here that need something. Look around you this morning and you say, well, I wonder what she needs. Wonder how I could show her that I can. You say, well, Brother Danny, I don't know anybody that needs help. Well, let's see. I know a preacher that lives in Nebo. He needs all kinds of things. His grass needs mowing. Hey, man, I can tell you somebody needs help. I'm going to read you a card here we got from Jamie and Nancy back. I got it a few minutes ago and didn't read it a minute ago. It says, thank you so much for the gift of love you have given to us. It has helped us out a lot. Just knowing you care means more than anything else. You hear me? Just knowing you care means more than anything else. That means more than money. It means more than a pat on the back, knowing somebody cares. This world is starving for people that really care. See, most people nowadays, you know, all this love, you know, they put on TV and love songs and love that. Most of that stuff is selfish love. It's like, you satisfy me. You give me what I need. You give me what I want. Take care of me. But you find very little of people saying, I'll go out of my way to help you and ask nothing in return. Miss Ella Hawkins, I've got a note here. We've helped Miss Hawkins several times. Get her groceries. She lives over yonder, somewhere over and towards East Marion. And she has lung cancer. She's in real bad need of a humidifier. And all somebody would have to do is just say, I'll give her mine, I'll buy her one, and take it to her. Where's Danny at, Brother Danny? You in here, Brother Danny Tucker? Oh, he's out there? Oh! Backslid way over yonder to the backside. You know where she lives, don't you? Okay. He's took her groceries. They took her stuff. Now, folks, these people all around you, if you would take 1 hour a week during the next several weeks, maybe make it a habit the rest of your life, and start saying, I care about somebody else, and I'm going to do something. I want you to bow your heads with me just a moment. I want you to make up your mind and your heart right now that you're going to do something for somebody this week. And while Sister Kathy just plays something softly on the piano, we'll not have any singing. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you Christians a question this morning. Would you say, Brother Danny, to be honest with you, I'm just wrapped up in myself, and I need to start caring about other people. Only time I'll do anything for anybody is when I'm getting paid for it, and I shouldn't be that way. And I need to ask God to give me a better heart to help others. Would there be someone here to say, Brother Danny, please pray for me, that I could, you know, that I would be that and do that and have a heart to care? Just raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Hands going up all over the building this morning. Is someone here to say, Brother Danny? Brother Danny? I ain't in no shape to help nobody. And the reason I ain't in no shape to help somebody else is because I'm so messed up myself. I'm so full of sin, so full of wickedness, that I can't even start to help nobody else. I'm messed up myself. And I want you to pray for me. Please, I want this church to pray for me that I get my life straightened out so that I could help other people. Would you raise your hand? Just raise it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands going up all over the building this morning. Amen. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? We're not going to come to you. Nobody's going to embarrass you. We're not going to put you on the spot. We're just going to pray for you right now. Anyone else? Say, Brother Danny, when you was talking about getting saved a while ago, it was just like fresh water to me. I know that that's what I need. Please pray for me. Slip up your hand. Slip up your hand. Take it right back down. God bless you. I tell you what we're going to do. We're not even going to ask you forward this morning. We're just going to pray with you right where you see it. Why don't you just ask the Lord to help you right there where you sit this morning? Why don't you say, Dear God, help me to get my mind off myself and my worries and my problems, and dear God, get it on you. And Lord, whatever I need this morning, do it in my heart. I ask it in Jesus' name. Help me to turn from everything I know that's wrong and everything you want me to turn away from, and to live for you with all of my heart. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. While they keep playing this morning, let me ask you something. Can you make up your mind this morning? How about some of you boys, you teenage boys? We're going to be working at the camp, you know. I mentioned these folks that need grass mowed, need repair work, need painting. Why don't some of you older men get some of these boys and say, hey, let's get up together Tuesday evening. Let's get together Friday evening. Let's get together Saturday morning, and let's go do something for somebody. You'd be surprised what a blessing you'd get. Well, I was thinking about this morning, Brother Tater Sheehan over there in the hospital. Brother Tater's meant so much to us that I want to ask his wife to come down front here just a minute, Sister Earlene. I don't want to embarrass you, but I want you to come on down here at the front just a minute, Sister Earlene. And we're going to do something for Earlene this morning, that, and for Tater, really, that, just to show them that we care. Somebody cares. Sister Earlene cares, or Tater wouldn't even be saved this morning. And okay, y'all can stop right now. We're going to start you again in just a minute. I want you to play something as we leave. But right here is one of the finest Christian ladies I know of anywhere in the world. And her husband's laying over there in the hospital, in the VA hospital in Otain. He's had a heart attack. And God done so much for Tater, and with Tater, and through Tater, that we wanted to say something this morning, and then we got something for him. We just want to show you, Sister Earlene, that we care. And I wrote down some things last night that I want to say about Tater, and I want us all to show our love towards her family and for cheering hearts of people coming in the doors on Sunday morning, for being a witness to the people of the town of Marion, to bringing hope to all the women whose husbands are not yet saved, for sharing and showing the world that there is only one true rehabilitation through the Lord Jesus Christ. and for being a part of what God's doing in McDowell County. We want to do this for Brother Tater. He has to have all kinds of rest. He has to have rest constantly. They said when you go home, you can't do nothing but sit. And we want to make sure he sits easy. So we got him something here this morning. Bring it right up here, fellas. Now, you talk about an easy chair, man.
It ain't easy to carry.
This is an easy chair. And this thing rocks. I've been tempted all week not even to tell you about it and keep it in my office. But the devil is trying to tell me to do that. It rocks like this, and then it's got this touch thing where you can just touch. You don't have to go, ugh! You know, that's too much strain on him. You just touch it, and it does that. All kind of neat things. And you lay back, and we want, Earlene, if you'll come over here, we want to present this chair to you to take it home with you. Here it is. And when Tater comes home, we want him to sit over there and not have to turn a hand. And we just want to do this morning to show him that we care. Amen? Let's give him a big hand. Well, somebody will have to help him get this thing out and get it loaded. Don't she come with you, Kathy? You might get Rob, bring Wrecker over here and get that. But we're going to let you go right there. Pick out, now you probably can't buy somebody something like that, but pick out somebody this week and do something for them. Think you can do that? You know that woman across the street that you can't stand? Bake her a cake. Lord will bless you for it. All right? Go on, I'm hungry.